How's everyone doing this morning? Yeah. May 1st, we're almost halfway through the year next month, you know, tax freedom day is coming. I see the Raptors are not doing well, they're out of the playoffs. Is that a reflection on our prayer life? You know, I've prayed for shallower stuff than that, so it's okay to ask God for things like that. Anyway, there was a time I was spending time with God, just listening to him, not asking for stuff. And one of the things that impressed on my heart is to talk about transition. We had a word earlier this year. All the elders gave words for the year, and you know, God shared this word transition, and I spoke into that. This is kind of an expansion of that, and kind of speaking into the congregation. I feel like we're kind of moving into a season where. We feel like we've faced a lot of changes, but there could be more changes coming, and God wants us to prepare our hearts to be receptive, to respond the way he wants us to respond. So speaking of changes, I don't know if you've noticed, the price of everything seems to be higher. You know, it's at the gas station, of course, the gas costs more money. You know, you put air in your tire, you know, it used to be free, then it was like a quarter, it's a dollar. It's like $3 now. Anyone know why? Inflation. So that's my dad joke today. So let me talk about, I'm going to use change and transition interchangeably. There are differences, and not dictionary definition, but you know, kind of my thought process. Change is stuff that happens all around us. It could be the price of stuff going up. It could be sickness in our life, or someone, a loved one has passed away or is sick, change in a job situation, changes happening at work. We've heard that. So these are all things that are happening around us, that some things we can control and some we can't. Transition is more about how we adjust to the changes that are going on around us and how we respond to that change. So it's what goes through in our mind. It could be confusion, uncertainty, loss, fear, anger, anxiety, loneliness, helplessness, or happiness or joy. It's all of that. So it's how we respond to the stuff that's going on all around us. So before we talk about transition and change, I want to impress something in your heart, and that is Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Amen. For I am the Lord, I change not. God does not change. We are constantly bombarded with change. Transition is thrust upon us, sometimes whether we like it or not. But God is unchanging in his character, his will, his covenant promises. God's immutability, which is kind of a theological term, defines all other attributes of God. God is immutably wise, merciful, good, and gracious, powerful, and forgiving. His wisdom, his power, his holiness, his justice, goodness, and truth are infinite and eternal, and they are unchanging. He is immutable. He's an immutable God in an ever-changing world that we are in. Yeah. So what does this mean? So when we are faced with changes in our lives, our response has to be with the full knowledge that we serve an unchanging God that has us in the palm of his hands. So if God is unchanging, why do we have to change? Yes, sure, there's growth, there's progress, there's strength, there's new beginnings, but why do we need all this? Why not just be like God? Why do we have to change or embrace change? So accepting and embracing change God wants in our lives positions us for the next step and the next stage that God has for us. So the question we need to ask is, who benefits from change, from our change? 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Romans 8:29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So, who benefits from our change? Is it really us? Does it matter? In Christ, we are changing daily to be transformed into his likeness. That's the need for our change. That's what should motivate us to change and respond to change the way God wants us to respond. So let's look at some examples, some inspirational examples from the Bible. First one is King David, from shepherd to king, 1 Samuel 16. I'm reading from verse 5 onwards. Samuel replied, yes, in peace. He's talking to Jesse. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate for yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Notice David wasn't there. So when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, his second son, and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse had Shammah pass by. Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But the Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So Jesse asked, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered. He is tending sheep. Samuel said, send for him, we will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing in health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. The Lord said, rise, anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came up powerfully upon David, and Samuel then went to Ramah. You look at the story, you read this account in Scripture, you know, the first thing I thought of was, how did his brothers feel? It'd be part of the lineup, be rejected one by one. I don't know where you've been in your life. Maybe you were part of the seven lineup, or maybe you were David. But, you know, it couldn't have felt that great. They didn't necessarily treat David all that well. I think there were some contentions, there were some issues, just like every family. You know, they had family issues. But I don't think David came there expecting to be anointed. He was surprised. Psalm 69:8 says, this is how he felt about his family. I'm a foreigner to my own family, a stranger to my own mother's children. That was a time when he was low. So, after he's anointed, there's a series of events take place. His first public success comes when he slays Goliath the giant. We all heard about that story. He's threatening Israel's military security. He slays him. Returns home, and a throng of women start singing, Saul has killed thousands, and David tens of thousands. This enrages Saul, and there's contention between the two of them. Saul regards David as a threat and starts pursuing him to eliminate him. David had to essentially flee and then spend time in the wilderness for a number of years. David faced several transitions in his life. Some changes came to him. Others were choices he made that weren't so great. So you look at his life. He was born of the tribe of Judah. but it was from Bethlehem. He was Ruth and Boaz's great-grandson, so there was some heritage. He was the youngest of seven brothers. He was a musician, giant slayer, great warrior, Israel's greatest king. He entered into a covenant with God, 2 Samuel 7, which we regard as one of the major covenants in the Bible that shapes Christianity, Davidic covenant. But he didn't always respond well to all these things that were happening to him, where he was placed in a position of power and authority. he made some poor choices. He commits adultery with Bathsheba, then he keeps escalating stuff. You know, had Uriah, her husband, killed. Until it escalates to a point until, you know, God had to send Nathan the prophet and intervene in his life. I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord and what stage you are. Maybe you were set apart, maybe you were elevated, and then suddenly everything came crashing down. How do you deal with that? In all of this, though, David was still a man after God's own heart, wrote about half the Psalms that we read today, still yet had time for, at least biblically named, there's eight wives named in the Bible, Ahinoam of Jezreel, Abigail, Maacah, Haggith, Abital, Eglah, Michal, and Bathsheba. What can we learn from the life of David? Regardless of how we handle transition, we have to know that we serve an unchanging God who is always at work, who is always forgiving and redemptive. He always wants to bring us back to the race we need to run so we can stay in our lane and accomplish what he wants us to accomplish in our lives. Let's move to the Apostle Paul, from persecutor to apostle. How did he transition and how did he handle this? So Acts 9, verse 1 to 5, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And then we see that is the beginning of the transformation of Saul to Paul, the road to Damascus, the road to Damascus moment. You look at Paul's life, it was in constant change. He was born as a Roman citizen in Tarsus that gave him certain rights that others didn't have. He's very zealous. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He studied under Gamaliel, which would be equivalent to going to a fancy Ivy League school today. He was a well-learned man. He was complicit as he watched Stephen being stoned to death, later sets out to persecute and imprison Christians. On the road to Damascus, he has an encounter that shakes his life. He transitions eventually to become the apostle to the Gentiles. He made 3 to 4 missionary journeys throughout his life. He planted churches in Europe, in Asia, performed miracles, raised the dead. He wrote 75% of the New Testament. There were letters to churches that we consider part of our Bible. He was shipwrecked, imprisoned. He faced it all. What can we learn from his life, from the seasons of life that he faced? How ready are you for dramatic changes in your life? What if God calls you to do something drastically different from where you are now? how will you respond? Would it be, what will I get, what's in it for me? Or will it be, how will this impact the kingdom and his purposes? See, what's in our heart? See, motives are weighed by the Lord. God is looking for your motives to see what's in your heart. Come with me to Genesis 37. Look at the life of Joseph from slave to leader. Let me kind of summarize his life. Joseph is born into a family where he's the favorite. He's given this fancy jacket. Life was good. He's favored. And then there's jealousy that rises up with his brothers. He is a victim, ultimately, of trafficking, sold into slavery. But even there, he sees success. Ends up in Potiphar's house, and he rises up there as a leader. He handles temptation well. When Potiphar's wife makes a pass at him, he handles that well, but he still ends up in jail. Has that happened to you? Where you do the right thing every time and still end up at the wrong place? Be blamed for something you didn't do. We have to always remember, through all of this, God is unchanging, his purposes are unchanging, his plans require us just to obey. Then Joseph transitions to a person who interprets dreams. God gives him this ability, and throughout the account in Genesis, we find that eventually he reunites with his family. There's a reunion, there's forgiveness, there's restoration. How would we handle this kind of situation where we have the power over someone who mistreated us? What will you do? What will I do? What should we do? What will be the character and nature of God's response, and what would be the first thing that comes to our head? So after this reunion with his family, Jacob and his family, Jacob moves to Egypt because Joseph invites him. They settle in an area called Goshen, just a section of Egypt. And they are blessed. And however, series of events take place over time, and this serves as a backdrop for Israel's ultimate enslavement in Egypt. Has that ever happened to you? The very blessing God gives you ultimately ends up being something that shackles you. Could be a job that we thought that was great, no longer great. Could be a relationship or a marriage. Whatever it is, you can settle down and get comfortable. But when times change, the very place that was a blessing can become a place of slavery. But through all of this, God wants us to know that he is unchanging. His plans and purposes are unchanging. So Goshen, this place where Egypt, where the Israelites are enslaved, actually ultimately becomes the place where Moses is raised up to lead people through Exodus. So again, God's plan comes through because he's an unchanging God. Through every step of his life, to every step of history, God always is working his plan. If you look at the call of disciples, Peter and Andrew changed from being humble fishermen to becoming fishers of men. Matthew transitioned from being a tax collector to one who was hated, despised, and an outcast in his community, to becoming a disciple of Jesus and writing the Gospel of Matthew. The call of disciples, Andrew and Matthew, they all left what they were doing and follow Jesus. It's not about a call to ministry, but a call to minister where we are. So, how do you know God is transitioning you? How do you know that you're in a season of transition? Here are some thoughts. You start to feel uncomfortable and restless in your current season or situation. Passions may start to shift. God persistently turns your attention to the new season. He's showing you what's ahead. Wherever you turn, you see it, you hear it. Doors keep closing in your current season because God is preparing you to transition to the next. You might experience pain before a major transition. Transition becomes shocking and painful in some situations, but sometimes it is just a joyous celebration. In order for the whole world to have salvation, Jesus went through pain on the cross. Transition can require pain. So change and transition ultimately leads to growth. Changes and transition leads us to grow and develop into the likeness of Jesus. So embrace change that God brings your way. If you would just close your eyes and bow your heads, I'm going to read some scriptures over your life. And I hope you receive that. Maybe you've gone through recent changes in your life. There's some shocking things that are happening. God wants you to know that he's an unchanging God. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. While seasons change in our lives, it helps to know that Jesus Christ remains constant. Isaiah 40:8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God, of our God, stands forever. Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Proverbs 3. Verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Lastly, Daniel 2, verse 20 and 21, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He moves kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. It is God who changes times and seasons. He allows us to grow and become more like him. He gives us wisdom and understanding in this new season. He's the Almighty God and deserves all our praise and worship. So as we learn to embrace change, remember that God's mercies are new every morning. The word of God equips us and lights our path through change. You can deal with change because the Bible promises that we can do all things in Christ. He will strengthen us through this new season. In the end, everything works out for the good for those who love God. So change in our life is guaranteed. How we deal with it is up to us. God allows it to grow us and build us up to be more like him. So when the foundations of what you trust, hope, and what you're familiar with is shaken, always know that God is unchanging. He is immutable. He is not surprised by anything that's happening around us or in our lives. His plan for your life has not changed. So stay in His word and prayer and know that some of the stuff that's going on around you is just noise. So just put on your noise-canceling headphones and focus on Him. Thank you.